for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, March 27, 2016, Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the service teaching on Such As We Have.
We're going to look in Acts chapter 3. But before we do, I wanted to preach on overcoming. God wants us to overcome. God wants you to overcome. He wants me to overcome. That is His plan. We have some overcoming to do. Till the day we quit breathing. John Knox, who founded the Presbyterian Church in Scotland, on his deathbed, he was having to fight the enemy. It's in his biography, but the devil came to him and said, you know, you've been so good that God's just going to let you in heaven because you've been so good. He said, no one's getting in heaven on their own merit. It's on what Jesus did. But right there on his deathbed. And so I can tell you that maybe you'll see angels coming after you. I don't know. It's good if you do. I don't know. I've never been there. But we're going to fight him, and it's okay to fight. And some people say, well, it shouldn't be a fight. Well, you fight for what you want. You're always fighting. We're all of us fighting. Get on the road and see if you're not fighting. And praise God. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I just got to give you this, and then I'll go to that. But I want to tell you this. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The majority of the New Testament is telling us how to overcome. You know that? I mean, that's what the majority of the New Testament is about. And the Old Testament's telling us what we shouldn't do. The New Testament is telling us how to keep from doing what we shouldn't do. But it is in that one statement, so concise, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we reverse that, it's if you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's just that simple. And it's up to you and me. And you can't walk in the Spirit with your head stuck in the TV, the internet, or all the other things, the games that people are doing. That is not walking in the Spirit. So if you want to overcome, walk in the Spirit. You know, this is a wonderful deliverance camp. But you're going to go home, and guess what? There's not going to be another camp till Memorial Day weekend. What you going to do between now and then? Well, you're going to walk in the Spirit if you want to overcome the flesh. That's what you're going to do. And the devil didn't go on vacation. He has no plans to. Never has. While you're asleep, he's planning your demise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. We were down at Beaumont last weekend. About this time, or maybe a little before, and we were sitting there in that restaurant, and there's a lady from Africa there, Nigeria. And I don't know if there's just a very few of you that were there. And she was dressed immaculately. I mean, she, African, but it was nice. And she was sitting there. And I just felt impressed to go over and talk to her. Went over and sat down and talked to her. A little hard to understand her. And I can't pronounce her name. None of her names. I cannot pronounce it. And she's here. She's a woman of means. She can fly around wherever she wants to. And they have a business there in Nigeria. And she's sitting there talking to me. And she starts talking to me about midnight prayer. Midnight prayer. I'm saying this because I said, you know, while you're asleep, the devil's planning. But for years, if I understood her right, for years she gets up at midnight and prays. And she's weeping while she's telling me this. And she's got two sons. Her husband is tolerates her religion, whatever. But she gets her two sons up with her, and at midnight they pray. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? This is a midnight prayer. It's scriptural, actually. It is scriptural. And let's remember something. America's not the... You know, somebody disagree with this. America's not the new Israel. There are people all over this world that know God. Okay? There are people all over this world that know God. We're not the whatever. And that woman knows God. Oh, it's just awesome. Praise God. Well, chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. Lord, we ask that you'd help us as we look at this scripture this morning. We know that you have a word in here for us all. And that you would encourage us and strengthen us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And I want to say that was that awesome word last night. Alignment for your assignment. When God's aligning you, you think your world's falling apart. We heard, that's what we're hearing. But it's not. Praise God. Shaking out what needs to be shaken out. Oh, hallelujah. Well, chapter 3. Now, Peter and John. Now, this is that Peter that failed God, failed the Lord, denied him three times and cussed when he, at the end. I think he might have done that to impress upon them that he wasn't a follower of Jesus, because they already could tell that those that followed Jesus didn't cuss. Okay? So, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, whatever's going to happen here, you can trace it back to the fact that they are men of prayer. And if they're men that are where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, they're not loosey-goosey, in and out. Brother Clinton had said one time, don't come in here prophesying to us when you can't come to the revival services. Understand? Don't come in here prophesying to us and you can't come when we're having revival, you can't show up, and you're unfaithful, and you're in and out. You don't have anything to say to us. But these men, and isn't it amazing how many people have a word from the Lord or something or some idea, or God showed them a new ministry, or they're launching something, but they have no regular fellowship with the Lord, no time of fellowship or prayer. And you know where that's coming out of. It's right out of the top of their head. But Jesus said, in the New American Standard, it says, I do nothing of my own initiative. Nothing of my own initiative. That will get you in trouble. Be still. Listen for God. And if he never tells you anything to do, just be still. And let me say this to you. Why do most Christians think, not all, but maybe a lot of Christians think that they're destined for some great ministry. And we just know we are, and we have a calling, and we have a destiny for some great ministry. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. There's a little book over there, Lawrence, about prayer, the presence of God. Get it? It's just a little book. And if I remember right, he was a cook or a dishwasher. I believe he was a dishwasher somewhere. And I don't know if he ever stood behind the pulpit, but people were streaming to that man. I've told our church we're 12 to 14 miles from town, but I could tell you if Walmart was sitting in Peerless, people would find it. They would. They'd drive out there from town. That's what they'd do. At a Starbucks, maybe. In fact, 7 miles from us, they're building a Dollar General. My God, that can't be sold. What has happened? You know, a Dollar General out there in the middle of the boonies. But people will go. I promise you, they will. What are we saying? If you and I as individuals, or if our church or our ministry really has the anointing and has truth that speaks life into people, they will come. They will come. One time we Daniel, one of the assistant pastors, he's preaching this morning at home. We were going to Mexico, and we pulled up to the one of the buildings of the ministry there, and a young man came running out. His name's Danny. He's assistant pastor there now, and he came running out and threw his arms around me and said, "I'm so glad you're here. You speak life into me." That's all God wants you to do, is go around and speak life into people. The life of God into people. They don't need our doctrine. They don't need our ideas. You know, they don't need us getting in their pocketbook. They need life spoken into them. And if you don't have life, well, we'll get to it. Let's read. And so the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He's up in age, this man that they bring there, and thank God for some faithful friends that brought him there so he could basically make a beggar's living. And who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. And Peter, that's never gone away. You can drive around Dallas and they're on the street corners, you know. We'll work for pay. Roll down your window and say, "I've got some work, get in." "Oh, no, I can't do that, you know." Anyway, maybe not. I want to be very careful. We go to the bridges there in Dallas under I-45. Almost downtown Dallas. And there's a tent city, they call it, under the bridges. The newspaper says there's 250 that live under there. And there's been some violence under there. There's been two murders under there. And we try to get out before dark. But, and there's some people, it's interesting. There's some people there that they didn't ask to be there. They didn't plan to be there. They don't want to be there. There's some that's their lifestyle. They know how to survive on the street. I can tell you that. We had a lady there in our ministry, and she let us know regularly that she could make it on the street, and she did for years and could. She is now. Because I took her back where I picked her up at and let her out. But anyway, that's a long story you don't need to know about. But they're there, and we minister to them. There's one lady that she's very vocal. She sits about in the middle. They put out chairs, preach to them, feed them. And the people that God's called to do that there is just awesome. And they're faithful. And at part of the service, yeah, praise God, Carolyn. In the next part, she's a cussing and a cursing and a whatever. And obviously, deranged, demon-possessed, whatever. They're gonna shut that down because of the violence there. I don't know where these people are supposed to go. But they said they're going to shut it down. But the whole argument, because there's violence there, that doesn't work. There's violence in North Dallas where the homes are million-dollar homes. Let's go bulldoze them down. You know, they just want them gone. Okay? Anyway, so he's a beggar. He would be living under the bridge, maybe. He's a beggar. Who see Peter and John about to go in the temple asking alms. Now, some of us would have turned our head and walked the other way. But there's a ministry opportunity here. Okay? And Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Look on us." My God, can we say that? Can you tell someone? They're not going to say, "Look on us and here's a $5 bill. Because they don't have it. They don't have it. It's already... The Holy Spirit's already showing, especially Peter, but these two men, Peter and John, he's already showing them what he's going to do. Now, we cannot do anything for God unless the Holy Spirit shows us to do it. Jesus said, "I never do anything that I don't see my Father do." If you go out and do things that you want to do, it's not going to work. You have to see the Father doing it. You understand? In the Spirit. You cannot reach your hand out there without seeing first your hand going out there. You have to see that happen. But we've done it so long that it's just a normal thing. We never say anything unless we first think it in our mind. Jesus said, "I never say a word unless I hear my Father say it." What a life. No wonder that he did the miracles that he did. And if the Lord uses you in the gift of prophecy, and as we see in 1 Corinthians 14, for comfort, edification, and exhortation, and if he uses you in that, and you're going along praying for people, if the Lord doesn't give you word, don't manufacture a word. You know, if he doesn't give you word, just bless him and go on. And sometimes for me, when I'm praying for people, I really like this. I mean, it's exciting. He's giving you a word for everyone as you go along. It's just awesome, you know, but it's God doing it. And one time I had a dream, and in the dream, as I was going along, before I even saw the person, the Lord was already giving me a word for the person. And there's a real test in there. There's a test for these men here. There's going to be a test for you and me. A test of faith. Look on us. Look on us. Not let's pray about it. Give him $5, hurry up, get by here. But he already knows that God wants to heal this man. Okay? And that's why God's going to heal him. Now, many think that Jesus passed this man too. But Jesus never healed that man. Why? Well, you've got to leave something for Peter and John to do. And he has a purpose. And everything's for the glory of God. Everything's for the glory of God. If what you and I are doing is not for the glory of God, let's don't be doing it. He's not going to share his glory with anyone. Now, they said, look on us. And so they fastened their eyes upon him and said, look on us. Verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. He gave heed. I don't believe you can be successful in ministering to people unless they give heed. One time we were, when I was assistant pastor at a church in Greenville, Texas, there was a lady there that they discovered she had breast cancer. And so the church gathered around, the ministers and the church around this lady to pray for her. But she didn't give heed to us. She was overwhelmed and overcome with fear that it's like she's standing there, she was there, but she wasn't there. You understand what I'm saying? She just wasn't there. So there was no connection. She wouldn't give heed. And she died of breast cancer. You have to give heed. When you're reading the Word, you have to give heed. When you're hearing the Word of God preached, you have to give heed. When the man or woman of God comes by to pray for you, you have to give heed. He gave heed. Moses, out there in that wilderness, saw a bush burning. And he would have walked by, but it said he turned and looked. He gave heed. And because he turned and looked, God had something to say to that man. And all those perhaps 2 million Hebrews came out of Egypt because he turned and looked at the bush. I tell you, if we miss when God is speaking to us, when God is trying, if we miss that, we're going to miss a lot. Thank God he's merciful and he'll talk to us sometimes, many times. I know there's times, and probably with you, that the Lord would tell me, go do something, I wouldn't do it. And it just gets stronger and it gets stronger and it gets stronger. And finally, you have to do it. But this man gave heed. When the disciples were in the ship on the Sea of Galilee and the storm came up and they were in peril, and Jesus came walking by. It says he made as if he would have walked on by. And he would have walked on by. You've got to understand this. He would have walked on by. But they called out to him. They gave heed. They called out. You've got to give heed. Now, it's hard to give heed when you're, again, your head's stuck in the TV or on the phone or whatever. I appreciate that here. And we do that in our church. We give space for the Holy Spirit to speak. I've been places where they wouldn't give place to the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was such a well-oiled machine, but part of the reason was they're afraid to let the Holy Spirit in because they would lose control. And why did they deliver Jesus up to be crucified? They were afraid they were losing control. The church I grew up in Dallas, a new pastor came, and God was blessing. The church was flourishing and financially in every way. But that old board became, they said so, they were losing control. So they came against him and ran him off. I'll tell you what, though, I watched two of those people. One of them died when she should have died. And another left his wife and the secretary treasurer of the church and married someone else. And another got sick, had to move. You don't play with God's work. One time I was riding with the presbyter because I was secretary treasurer. We were going to take care of some business. And he said to me that, he says, sometimes a pastor will go to a church and there'll be some saint in the church and they'll get sick and die and the pastor doesn't know why. And he said, I'm going to tell you why. Because 25 years before, they mistreated a pastor and they never repented of it. He didn't know that I had one of those in the church that I was pastoring. He didn't know that that woman, this came from another minister that was new, had ran off every pastor that was ever there except for one. And she was working on me then. But it took 2 years for me to understand where it's coming from because she never came out against me personally. She had her women that did it, see. And but one day the cat got out of the bag, you know. And I had a radio program, and I told the church I would pay for it. I was working full-time, and I would pay for it. Well, this lady that controlled the church told the secretary treasurer, when he asks you for a check, you don't give it to him. And so she came to me, she's all nervous, said, oh, Brother Pizzo, I don't know what to do. I said, well, we'll. And so I got up the next service, and I told him, I said, oh, look here, I told you folks that I'd pay for that. I mean, you just got to confront some things, you know. And so I knew where it was coming from. But anyway, she had cancer. And so the presbyter, he did not know what I was going through, but the Holy Spirit spoke through that man to tell me that we'll never get away with that kind of thing. My God, don't touch the man of God, the woman of God. Do not touch them. David was very careful about that with Saul. Very careful. And when he cut off the edge of his robe, his heart smote him. It's too bad his heart didn't smite him when he was looking at Bathsheba. But thank God that he does smite our heart. Our heart smites. Thank God. Oh, praise God. You've got that going in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. But we have to give heed. So they gave heed and expected to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Silver and gold have we none. It's obvious that this ministry doesn't have silver and gold. And I think I can say that about most people here and the ministers that come and minister here. Silver and gold have we none. What have we watched the church do in America and perhaps in many in Europe? They have a lot of silver and gold. But that's all they've got. They've got their programs. They've got money. They can do things. They can hire people, fire people. They can build buildings, awesome buildings. But where is the power of God? Where is the power of God? Such as we have. What do you have this morning? I said earlier that we are to speak life into people. These two men had life in them. It came from the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came upon them and entered into them, and they spoke in tongues and acted like they were drunk, because people thought they were. It came to Jesus when he's standing in the River Jordan, being obedient. See, those in the upper room, they were being obedient. He said, tarry you in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So they were being obedient. And when Jesus got to John said, no, I need to be baptized with you. And Jesus said, no, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was being obedient. And when he come up out of that water, praise God, the Holy Ghost descended on him, lit upon him, praise God, and remained upon him, one of the Gospels says. And then you read in Luke chapter 4, that Jesus was full of the Spirit. And then you read that he went to the wilderness and fasted 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted of the devil. And when he left there, it says he went in the power of the Spirit. There'll be no power unless there's a testing Okay? There has to be testing. These men say, silver and gold have we none, but such as we give unto you. Such as we give unto you. Such as we have, we give unto you. They had something. Jesus had something. And so he went in the power of the Spirit. And then he stood up to read in the synagogue. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you, or do you just have a lot of information? And I need to say something here. I don't want to listen to a sermon that's not the gospel. Just bear with me. Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then we have Paul speaking to Timothy. He said, preach the word. Preach the word. Don't be an information distributor. Information. And we can say a lot of things under that heading. Encourager, psychologist, all the things that we hear coming out of pulpits now. Feel good gospel, you know. He said, preach the word. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, I determined to know you, among you nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Who is Jesus? He's the Word. So when he's telling Timothy, preach the Word, he's saying, preach Christ. And that's what we're to preach Christ, because life only comes out of that. Out of preaching Christ. Life only comes from there. Praise God. Such as we have, we give unto you. If you don't have Him, you can't give Him. No, it doesn't matter how much training you had or I've had, how much education, life experience. It doesn't matter what our heart's desire is, what we want to do. I'm talking to you this morning because God wants to use you. He wants to use all of us. But only as dispensers of the gospel and dispensers of the power of God, the Word and the Spirit. I realized what God showed me, I'm not capable of realizing anything myself. But He showed me that as a minister, I am to minister the Word and the Spirit. You check the ministry of Jesus. He always ministered the Word and the Spirit. Sometimes He taught or preached first, then He healed the sick, worked miracles. Sometimes He worked miracles first, and then He taught them, according to whatever the Father showed Him. I get so disturbed when I read or hear someone say, well, Jesus said this to get this reaction, or Paul said this to get this reaction. No, sir. Jesus said only what His Father said. He's not trying to get any reaction out of anyone. Is this being clear? I'm not up here trying to get some reaction out of you. I want to say what He says. I want to hear what He's saying. And say what He's saying. Because I don't have anything to say. Such as I have. What do I have? I have Him. I have the Holy Spirit speaking through me. And I can say that with confidence. I could not do what I do if I didn't have that confidence. I couldn't make it if I didn't have confidence. I am His child. Praise God. He is working in my life. He's doing a work in my life. I know He is, praise God. I'm not what I used to be. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new or are becoming new. Thank God I have that confidence. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. Paul wasn't there yet. He said, I haven't attained yet. But I'm pressing on toward the mark of the prize of high calling Christ Jesus. We're all there. That's what we're doing. Will we make mistakes? Yes, we'll make mistakes. I wish I could get back all the money of the mistakes I made. Years ago, our Christian school, it was really big and it was growing. And, you know, of course, we just see it bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, we'll be as big as a public school, baby. That wasn't God's plan. It's very small now. But we got this. I'm making plans now, see. You make plans, you're going to mess up. I messed up. We needed a gym. And someone sent in a donation. In fact, it was a cousin of mine, of $6,000. Well, I was sitting in a McDonald's somewhere and looking at those sale papers. You know they have this little nickel thing or whatever. And in there it said that you could buy a steel building. And a wonderful deal. So I called them up. And I told them, we talked, and I told them what we wanted, and they said, well, you put down $6,000, and when it's delivered, you pay the rest. And I said, well, what if we don't have the rest? I mean, they said, oh, it'll be okay. Don't worry about it. They told me, you know. Well, the rest didn't come. It never came. And I called them up and said, well, we can't do it. Okay. You going to send us our $6,000? Nope. Didn't you read the fine print?
Yeah.
Well, they faxed it to us. You couldn't have read it if you wanted to. Lost $6,000. You're looking at a man can't stand to lose a nickel. I used to go to the old gas pumps, you know, that little dial in there. No, they weren't digital. There was a certain little store there near us. And when you took the thing out, it'd roll over to a penny. What? I haven't put any gas in there yet. I'm telling you, just that's the way I roll over is a penny. But I'll tell you what, if you read he was trying to hit $10, it's $10.01, you walk in there, he wants that penny. But you wait a minute, you're pumped, you know. $6,000. You know, that's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? I was some of us had gone to a church to a revival. A friend of mine was preaching, an evangelist preaching a revival, and that pastor was telling the church and all, they were doing the same thing we did. Sent their money in to get this steel building. I tried to warn him, but he didn't want to hear it. There's a man that sued me over a Bible, and he'd given me 10 or 12 years before, and he started calling up wanting that Bible. I said, I don't have that Bible. Well, you better find that Bible. He's coming up there, and he's at the school and messing with people while I wasn't there. And he called up, and he said, I'm going to sue you if you don't get that Bible. I said, well, just sue me. I didn't think you would. I got served with papers. And the constable come out there and just apologized. Oh, Brother Pinson, I'm sorry, but I have to do this. And I thought, this cannot be real. And I went and talked to the district attorney. And they said, oh, don't worry about him. His own brother sued him for hitting him and damaging his eye. I said, you don't need a lawyer. I said, oh, okay. My wife and I went up there and got there. He and his wife were there. And the only reason that I ever messed with him was because his wife. They visited our church in the old church building. And that night she came up for prayer, and I prayed for him. She had a hallelujah, whatever. But God healed her of heart trouble. That she'd been taking medicine for maybe most of her life. Do you know after that, she instead of the money that she would have paid on that heart medicine, she gave that money. But anyway, I get home, and he calls me up. And he says, would you go up there and look? My wife, the diamond came out of her ring while she was getting blessed. Uh-huh. Now, how are you going to find that little old thing in the carpet? I went up there, it was laying on top of the carpet. But anyway, I could tell, that would be a book right there on that man. So we went to court, and I thought, you know, how many times she told she's going to shoot him and do different things because he's so mean. And I'll tell you what, blood sticker, okay? And so he gets up, and he's first, and it's just the justice of the peace, a brand new justice of the peace, and his mother and dad was Assembly of God, but they were Baptists. And so this guy sent, and every check he ever wrote, because that's when they sent the checks back, he'd read them out off the date, put it in front of the judge, and then the next would put it in front of the judge, and the next would put it in front of the judge. And so then his wife got up, yes, sir, gave him that Bible. He tried to say he loaned it to me instead of giving it to me. Okay, that's the catch right there. Well, I knew I shouldn't have even opened my mouth, but I tried to defend myself. Didn't do any good. And when it was over, the judge said, "I just can't believe two grown men up here arguing over a Bible." I'm kind of bold. I said, "Sir, I'll tell you what, I'm not up here arguing over Bible. I'm here because I subpoenaed to be here, and that's why I'm here." And so he told me I'd have to buy him another Bible. It was an Oral Roberts Bible, cost $140. You gave $140, you got a free one. I don't know how many, he got a bunch of them. And I went later to tell that little justice of the peace what I thought about him, but he wouldn't come out of his room back there. And I would have. I mean, I just would have. But my wife found one for $40, a new one. They were down to $40 now. And we took it up there. He went to another church, and I told the pastor, I said, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. That man got mad at me for telling him he needed to be careful. I've learned some things, you know. There's something, just don't even try to tell them anything. You're not going to get the reaction. You think you're helping, but they're going to get offended some way. You know, he's in his church now. That man, I've got to finish that part, but that man was walking across the highway to get to his mailbox, got run over and killed. That's right. Don't mess with Brother Pinson. Okay? But he did. Praise God. He dealt us grief. I could stand here and take the rest of the time telling you about him and the shenanigans he pulled. But so why was I telling you all that? Such as we have, we give unto you. We're dispensing life. He was a reprobate, though. The Lord told me what. Didn't even know what the word meant. I had to look it up. And it means you. There's no hope for you. There's no hope. You're out. One time, I thought that things were going to turn around. He was cutting some metal and cutting some air conditioning coils, and it still had Freon in it. And it exploded in his face, and he caught on fire, and he's rolling on the ground. And the old man never even went to the doctor. He just peeled the skin off his face and his hands. But he got kind of humbled down then. I thought, well, maybe. When he saw he's going to live, it's over, you know. It's over with. It's a sad thing. I've never, you know what? Knowing and looking at that man that you're bound for hell because you're a reprobate and there's nothing else for you. Folks, don't push it. I'm telling you, don't push it. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And there are people walking around and you'll see them that they're doomed. There is no hope for them. They are a reprobate. You studied that. They're a reprobate and there's no hope. I don't want to become a reprobate. Traveling under the blood of Jesus. That man, they said, was baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues at one time. Well, anyway, such as we have, we give unto you. If you have it, and you're not going to get it, let me say this, you're not going to get it right at that moment. What do we mean? Okay, sometimes if we don't feel the goosebumps when we're ministering, we don't think that anything's going to come out of it. Or you lay your hands on people and there's no zing that or zap, you don't go, well, nothing's going to happen. But that's not so. You already had to have it before you got to that point. And it's not us anyway, it's him. We're just obeying. And so one time my daughter was playing the piano and I looked over there and she was crying. I didn't know if she was convicted or what's going on or somebody said or gave her a dirty look. I don't know. And I walked over there and she said, "Oh, Dad, my tooth has hurt me so bad." And then I remembered, you know, she was having a real problem with one of her wisdom teeth. And, oh, she was in pain and she was crying. And I laid hands on, prayed for her. Didn't feel a thing. Walked back over there. And then she was really crying. I turned, "What's wrong?" She said, "It doesn't hurt anymore." God healed her. I cannot say I came with such glory on me that when I touched her, you know. They already had it. You've got to get it before you get to that place. When you're facing maybe a death, maybe a car wreck. I was coming home from Mexico one night. It's after midnight. And a long trip. And I was almost home. And I was on this black road in the black night driving a black car and a black cow was right there from me. And I knew if I went to the right, there's a deep ditch. I knew that road. If I went to the left, she was going that way. And I said, God help. I just called, cried out to God and put on the brakes and hit that cow, and the car died, and she flew up in there and hit the windshield, went off to the side, and I was shook up. Praise God. It was too late to get right with God, I'm going to tell you something. Too late to get right with God. Stay right with God. Stay right with God. Hallelujah. I was talking to someone, my wife and I had a good marriage. Really, we did. We never argued in front of the kids. I grew up with that. My parents threatened to divorce each other, and it scared me as a child. It just scared me. And fussing and arguing, and my mother, she'd get in the car and leave, and my dad come, oh, praise you, come back home. I thought, well, you shouldn't have been so mean to her, you know? And he was. He had a bad temper. But I believe what the script, never go to bed angry. Okay, never go to get it fixed. Never go to bed. Don't let the sun go down your wrath. And keep things right, folks. Keep your heart right. You mess up, right then repent. Right then ask God to forgive you. Don't wait till you get to church or to the confession booth. You know, my wife grew up a Catholic, and before they could take communion, they had to go to the priest and make confession. And she said she'd dream up stuff to tell me. She couldn't think of anything she did, so she'd just make up something. And he'd tell her what she had to do. So many Hail Marys or the Rosary or whatever. She still remembered all that. Now, such as we have, you already have it. You got to have it before you get. God's going to present you with opportunities, but you have to have it before you get there. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. Go in the power of the Spirit. Be ready. You don't know where. You don't know when. Maybe before today's over. Do you ever get up and ask God to give you some opportunities? I don't mean to stand behind a pulpit. There used to be a young man in our church. We were going to Mexico, and he quit going. He said, well, if they're not going to let me preach, I'm just not going to go. Well, you just showed yourself, you know, as far as I was concerned. And if I came here, you know, we don't all get to preach the same number every time. We're not supposed to be counting. Do you understand? We're not supposed to be counting. Or they got to preach at night, and I had to preach at this. In the one where nobody comes or something. We're not here to count. God knows.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you laid your hands on someone in prayer, would anything happen? Except maybe if they got a sweaty forehead, your hand got wet. You don't know what. There are people I pray for and I have to wipe my hand before I go to the next one, you know. We was under the bridge and praying for people, and they come up and some of those people, they'll hug you or they'll put their hands all over you while you're praying for them. And where's the anti, what do you call that, antibacterial stuff to wipe your hands with? Don't know what they've got. I heard of a, if I've told some of this before, you didn't all hear, it's okay. There was a preacher, somebody was telling me this, and he went along and he was praying for the people in his church. When he got through, he had some of that hand sanitizer stuff. Big old bottle of it, and he'd put that on his hands and wash his hands right in front of him. Oh my God. Jesus laid hands on lepers and didn't run for the hand sanitizer. If you've got it, you're not going to get that.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Don't be afraid of them. And then here comes the one, such as I have given. Here comes the one, oh my God, here they come again. They're going to rob my time. They're going to tell me the same stuff they told me last time. Just over and over and over. Well, you know what? Just have a little patience, okay? Have some mercy. Have some patience. He's merciful to those that show mercy. And they're hurting. And thank God you're not in the same place they're in. Humble yourself. You're not that important. What you do is not that important. Humble yourself. This is one thing I learned is... people are more important than projects or programs, okay? And we're always building something, doing something, working on something. And when people come, I'm going to put down what you're doing and pay attention to that person. Well, they're robbing my time. People are more important, though, than all those other things. Be flexible. Let God direct your life. Let Him direct your steps. Delays. That's another thing, delays. I cannot tell you how many times that thank God for delay. And because of that delay, I'm telling you, that little delay in the traffic or wherever, or the line was too long in Walmart, or she is too slow checking you out, or, oh, it just burn. You stand there and she's gabbing with, and the woman in front of you, and I can tell about junk, and you just need to go, and you're waiting in line. Delays can be ordered of God.
Amen.
I remember one time I've been really delayed. I was so far behind. And used to, I was just about to explode. The tension, the nervousness, the anxiety coming up. And He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And so I was going down the aisle, and I was in a bad hurry. That's another thing. I know what I want when I get in there, and there's just people going on, reading every label, looking this, pick it up, standing in the middle of the aisle, and you can't get around them. And isn't that right, though?
Yeah.
I mean, visiting with them, somebody they hadn't seen in 10 years, and they're oblivious to the rest of the world. And I was going down the aisle, and this lady passed in front of me that I knew. It was God. I mean, a second before, a second after. See, I'd have missed her. I went up and talked to her. I cannot tell you the things that came out of that. That one conversation, the things that God did for me, for our ministry, out of just seeing that woman pass by. It continues to go on because of that. That one encounter with that woman, praise God. Delays. Do you believe or do you not believe that He's directing your paths? Even the delays.
Praise God.
Even the people that... I remember one time I was working in a grocery store in Greenville, and there's a lady come through there, and flies actually followed that woman around. You're standing over here, and she's got a... Isn't there a comic or something? Somebody got flies on. I can't remember.
Linus.
Okay, Linus. She was Linus.
No, not Linus.
Well, whoever. But now we got to get this straight.
Pigman.
Okay. Okay. Had flies on her, following her, and dressed in rags almost. He's in the poor part of Greenville. And she had pulled out the biggest wad of bills you ever saw. And you didn't want to touch them. Praise God. You know, but let me tell you something. It's very possible that God loves her. And He's not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. It would do you good to go under the bridge in Dallas. It would do you good. We take the young people down there. And we used to take them all the way to Mexico to see how the rest of the world lives. Now we just go under the bridge, see how the rest of the world lives. Such as we have, give we unto you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And He took him by the right hand, that's the laying on of hands. I believe in laying on of hands. And lifted him up. Now, if you have King James, him is in italics. What does that mean? Not in the original. And lifted up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. There's a powerful thing there. Let me just say this. Many times you're praying for people, it's strength they need. In whatever part of their body. Or even in their spirit, they need strength. And it receives strength. Because the devil has taken their strength away. And he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That is awesome. All because they had something. They had something. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. And so Peter and John got on TV and told this and invited people to their revival. Verse 11. One time I was young and pastor in the first church I pastored, and I was so discouraged. And plenty of reason to be in the natural. But you know, I look back and God did some things there. Really did some wonderful things. But I wanted to be somewhere else. And I worked in Dallas and drove 40 miles one way. I was listening to radio, and they were advertising this revival. Come, God has a word for you. I said, well, that's what I need. I need a word. So I drove all the way up there and went and got there, and they were, I don't know what they were doing. I walked in, but I figured out later they were taking the offering. It took about an hour. And the way the offering goes is if you got $1,000, God's got a word. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. If you got $1,000, God's got a word for you. And working their way down and working their way down, finally got down to $5. Those people should save their money waiting for the $5 body. It's $5. And then finally he said, well, if you don't have any money, God's got a word for you. So okay, here we go. And he came and gave me a word, and I'll tell you what, and none of it ever happened. None of it ever happened. Such as we have, we give unto you. Okay? And so this is an awesome thing happening here. It has a lame man which was healed, held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in Solomon's porch that is called Solomon's. And the porch is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this or look so earnestly on us? On us. Okay. If God started doing miracles through your life, life coming out of you into people, which will heal, which will set free, which will do these things. And people are looking at you, what would your reaction be? You got to be ready for that part. Because this is where a lot of them messed up. There was a brother named the Jeffries brothers that were mightily used of God in the healing ministry in England. And one of them went off on the whatever. And began to think that it was he and his, that they had it. And they began to tell people they had it. They had it. It was of them. That man ended up insane. Insane. Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? I want to tell you this. You when you're praying for people sometimes, laying hands on the devil's right there. There was a pastor not far from me, I preached for him a lot. He told me when anyone came to his church and started doing, you know, prophesying to people, he'd walk right along beside them, listening, you know, guarding his people and watching out for them against this false prophet. And he said, oh, they'd tell things, and if I knew them, and it wasn't so. But God speaks is what's going to be, okay? Not necessarily always what is, but what's going to be. And he couldn't see that part. But the devil's going right along like that pastor with you, and he's arguing with you and talking to you. And so many times the Lord would give me a word, and the devil would say, you better not say that. What if you're wrong? What if they correct you? I've been corrected right here, but the person is, they were way off. Okay, up here. And one of them told me one time, he's standing over here, he said, well, that's not what you told me yesterday. And he just had no spiritual perception, you know. None at all. It was like, well, anyway, and this young lady at our church one time, and I got to her, and the Lord gave me a word for her. And I said, oh, Lord, her mother's standing next to her. If I say that, there's going to be some fireworks. They'll probably leave the church. I mean, you know, but God gave it to me, and I told her. And she broke and began to weep and cry. See, God knows He knows. And in 1 Corinthians 14, He said that when they come in, and if you're prophesying to them and revealing the secrets of their heart, they'll fall down and say, surely God's among you. All the churches are missing that. They think stained glass windows and our big screen TVs or smoke machines or colored lights or whatever, that's no. This is where it's at. And so they're holding on to them. It says, not our power, our holiness. But here's another thing the devil will tell you. I know what you did last week. I talked to you earlier about failures. And he's right there to remind you. He did that to Martin Luther. You know, he came in, Martin Luther was praying. He came in, he had a long scroll. He felt him come in. He looked up, and a long scroll. It was the devil. And he said, well, what's that? He said, it's your sins. And he said, but they're under the blood of Jesus. And he said, the devil, this is what Martin Luther said, told. And the devil turned around and ran out of the room with a scroll. And he's going to come against you because he wants to stop the power of God and life coming to people. And he's going to come with accusations, accuses the brethren, accuses us before God day and night. And he accuses us to each other. And he accuses God to us. He's an accuser of the brethren. But he said they overcame him by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb. That's usually all you hear. But the third part is, and they love not their life unto the death. You really want God to use you? Be like Paul. They warned him, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. But he said, I'm willing to go. Why are you trying to break my heart? I'm willing to spend to be spent for the gospel. I give it all up. If you are afraid of losing your life, you'll never be effective for God. Not really. And so, as through our own power and holiness, and you have to be able to answer the devil. It's not my holiness. Get that right, folks. It's not our holiness. Well, I can't preach. I've told my church this. If I failed God the week before, then I can't get up and preach because I failed God. I said, really, nobody in here would be able to preach. We just all have to sit here. You ask God to forgive you, please. Ask God to forgive you. Put it under the blood. Get it behind you and go on. If you need to make some things right with people, make things right with people. Yeah, there are going to be people take up stones and throw at you. Praise God. I don't want to do wrong. You don't want to do wrong, but we do. And we'll be honest. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His Son Jesus. That's all we're doing, is bringing glory to Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
Bringing, if somebody's set free, it's not so we can put it in our newsletter. It's okay if the Lord tells you to. But it's to glorify His name, whom you delivered up and denied. One time, my wife and I went to a church. It was a black church in Greenville. And they were having something, I don't remember what. And so all of a sudden, the dum-da-dum, and the pastor comes out. He's in a black robe, and it's red inside. You know, he comes out, and, oh, Dracula's here. It's not for our glory. People try to. I'm telling you the truth now. I ain't up here lying. Okay? The attitudes some of them get, you know. We went the last Benny Hinn, please, if he's your favorite evangelist, but the last Benny Hinn revival, we went to the American Center there, you know, where the Mavericks play in Dallas. That's a huge place. And the platform out there, and they were selling beer. The first one I went to was totally different. This and something changed just several years between. And the people were sitting there eating their hot dogs and drinking their Cokes and in that place, and all the things were open except the beer ones weren't open. And I noticed this funny-looking thing. It's like a tunnel went from somewhere here up to the platform. You know who that's for? For Him. It's for Him, the star of the show. Oh, God, forgive me if I don't. And I want Him to make it, you know, I do. There was a pastor in our section that had an affair with his secretary, and of course, the sins of God don't, oh, I told you, but the sins of God don't put up with that. And so you have to go and rehab and all, and he did. And later on, I saw him when he saw me at a meeting, and he hurried by because, you know. And I thought, brother, I'm glad you're back in the ministry. I'm glad that you've been restored. I'm glad. That's what God wants. One time an older pastor told me about another pastor. He's talking about another pastor saying, you need to know something. You know, he's whispering, you need to know. 30 years ago, he cheated on his wife. And he was big in the denomination. Now he's got this little church, but you need to know what he did. Because they might try to elect him for presbyter. We don't need that because they did it once, they'll do it again. And that really bothered me. 30 years before. But you know, God helped him. You know what the Lord told me? David never did it again. He never did it again. He even mocked that pastor. He said, we were in a meeting one time and the preacher was preaching on that kind of subject, and he went to a back room and just howled like a dog. And then he was groaning, you know, and praying. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you. This world wants a murderer. This, even in the elections, some of you are going to figure that out. And kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. And if you don't figure it out, you come ask me afterwards. And his name, listen to this, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. They just thought he was a cripple. Whom you see and know, yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. How's it done? Faith in his name. In the name of Jesus. If we can get a hold of the name of Jesus and understand the power that's in the name of Jesus, praise God. As it was said, I believe, last night, you know, we have power of attorney using his name, the name of Jesus. If you have it, if you have that relationship, if you have it, you can use his name as the Holy Spirit directs and see mighty things done to bring people into the kingdom, not to give you a great name. Praise God. Will you stand with me, please? Thank you for your patience. There's no one in here that God doesn't love. I believe that. I need to say this to some. Most probably everyone in here wants to have a ministry. And you know what? God wants you to have a ministry. But it'll be on his timetable. It'll be where he wants it to be. It'll be what he wants it to be, or it'll never work. He'll bring glory to him, not to you. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus. I seem like the Lord is just continuing on in the vein of what we heard last night. My silence. It will be him. Thank you, Jesus, for his glory. But you're not going to make it happen. We are to be listening. As an old song says, I'll be somewhere listening. Learn to hear his voice. Learn to see in the Spirit. Learn to discern between your thoughts and his thoughts. Learn to hear his voice and be able to divide it from past experiences. There are things that happen. God does the same way. There's some things he doesn't. Praise God. How many of you want to be used in God? Do you? Praise God. Such as I have, give unto you. Get it every morning. Keep it. The devil's going to try to steal it. You know that? He's going to try to steal it. He's going to set things up, and we learn to see these setups, okay? And if you don't get it under control, immediately the first step in his setup, you'll fall. You understand? You'll fall. And learn to, well, what's going on here? Well, the devil's got a trap for you right down the road somewhere, later on, that day probably. And you don't fall. You bind that thing right there in the name of Jesus. You cast that out. Get yourself lined back up with the Lord. Your attitude. I'm a pastor. I've been there almost 38 years. This summer, 38 years. I have to realize in that this town of 15,000, we don't live in town, but where we mostly shop. And a lot of people know me. Am I going to go up there and act like a fool because somebody cheated me out of a dollar? Am I going to get upset because somebody cut in front of me? We're ambassadors for Christ. We are to keep ourselves in line. Control ourselves, self-control, through the Spirit coming out of us. Oh my God. Hallelujah. People know you. Listen, they know you and know what you're supposed to be, and you don't even know they know. So don't think, well, no, look around on nobody. I hope nobody's from my church is here, and I'm just going to act like a fool. I'm going to vent. I'm going to let it go. That's just exactly what the devil wants you to do. There's a man one time that really treated me bad. He treated me bad. And I was at a car lot, and he was there. And I walked by, and I saw him, and I stared at him. And I was wrong for doing that. Here, I was wrong. And I was staring, and he said, you look the other way, or I'll Well, he told me what he's going to do to me with that stare on my face. And I had a choice. I could go over there and, you know, pride. I could go over there and confront him, just whatever. But then I had this picture. I saw my picture on the front page of the newspaper. That's what I saw. I said, I don't think I want that. Praise God. Father, thank you, thank you. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to dismiss and bless the food. If you want prayer, if you'll come forward, we'll pray for you. And however long, whatever. And because we minister the Word and the Spirit. And I just want to thank everyone for being here. I want to thank the staff here. I want to thank God that the staff is here. Don't you know that they have problems too and needs? And the devil comes against them? And the devil would like for every one of them to run off. Don't you know that? Don't you know the devil would like to kill Merrill on his way here in the airplane? Or on the way home? Don't you know that? Praise God. Bless these people. You see them, thank them. Thank them. When you get your food, thank Rick.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank these people. They're good people. They're called of God to be here. And they face discouragement and... Lord, right now, I bless them, Father. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless the children. Dan and Crystal's children. I bless the adults here, Father. Oh, Lord, I thank you for them. They're family, Lord. Family of God, we thank you for them, Father. They get discouraged, Lord. Encourage them, Lord. Help them to encourage themselves in the Lord. And I know they do, or they wouldn't still be here. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the speakers that come, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for them, Father.
Yes.
Bless them, Father. Bless us all as we go home, Father. Watch over us, Father. Keep us, Father. Let us go from here and dispense life, the life of God. Praise God. Be life givers, Lord. Such as we have, we give unto you. Be led of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Be able to see what you're doing. Hear what you're saying, Lord. Praise God. When we fail, Lord, that you would help us to repent. Remind us too, Father. Oh, Lord, give us that. Turn and look at us, Lord, when we've denied you. So we remember your word. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this camp. Thank you for everything you've done, every life you've blessed and helped. Praise God, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you came and died for us and rose again. We thank you. We thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, and we bless the food. Amen. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.